Okay, today I'm in Mayfair with Paris Smith. Thank you very much, Paris. Paris is the CEO of Pinnacle Bookmakers, a global organisation. Can you just give us a little bit of your background, please, Paris?
I have been in the industry for 25 years now. I started out just taking bets. I happened to be in Antigua, and I needed a job, so I met somebody who happened to start Worldwide Telesports, which was one of the first sports books, and it was a neat experience because that gentleman was one of the pioneers of the industry. So I learned a lot, and basically started taking bets, and the business grew very, very quickly. And then within a year, I was the marketing director, and shortly thereafter, the vice president. And we set it up not just like a bookmaking operation, but more of a company, where it was very departmentalized. One of the neat things about that company was we had the majority of female staff. So at the time, in the Caribbean, all the bookmakers were bringing in bookies from Vegas or wherever they came from. And we focused on customer service, training, lots of intense training. And we had these phenomenal female staff on the phone. At one point, I think we had about 150, 60 people, of which three were men and one was the owner. The other two were IT. So, you know, I've always just come from that background of, you know, focusing on customer service more than the bookmaking side.
Okay, so are you sort of tired about being asked about being a female bookmaker, and should the industry have moved on a bit from asking those questions? I'm guilty of it myself now asking you.
Yeah. I never think of the fact that I'm a female. I've always had the luxury. I've worked for three amazing groups. The first gentleman that I was talking about, he was very specific. He wanted women, he trusted women more. And then the second company that, when I came into Pinnacle, they were very focused on having somebody that could multitask and manage some extremely brilliant people. It's not always easy. And then, you know, the new majority shareholder of Pinnacle, he also, you know, he loves the fact that I'm a female. So I never think about it. I do find that when I have struggled and people have been, you know, a bit challenging or even potentially disrespectful, I don't think it's because I was a woman. I think it's because maybe they were, they didn't understand what they were doing. They had their own insecurities. So, you know, I'm assuming that men have the same issue where, you know, they go up against somebody that's more challenging. And I just never thought of it. It's because I'm a woman. I've always thought because maybe they just didn't understand.
But now you said you started taking bets. Where did the interest in bookmaking come from originally?
I needed a job. Really. And I was in Antigua and I couldn't find a job. It's a very unique island and you had to be local in most places to get a lower entry job. So I met this guy who owned a sports book and he said, yeah, my friend, he's from America and he's looking for females to answer phones. I said, for what? This was at a different time. And he said, for sports betting. I thought, oh. I was a basketball player in college. You know, I dealt blackjack, so I understood gambling. I thought I can do this. And that's how it started. So it wasn't really the passion. I have a very deep, deep passion of sports because that's what I grew up with, playing basketball, volleyball, every sport. So, you know, the passion for the sports was there, but for betting, I'm not a bettor. I've never been a bettor. And that was one of the things that that really attracted the Pinnacle Group to hire me.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in North Dakota. I have a very amazing childhood, amazing family. My grandfather was a politician, so you know I always had that very diplomatic approach and the ability to speak with people. When I was like 5 years old, he taught me, you know, if I don't introduce you to somebody, it's because I don't know their name. So say your name and ask them their name. And, you know, just little things like that. Wherever we'd go, he was, you know, kind of a big deal. I learned a lot from him.
Now, the Pinnacle's come of a huge way since its inception. I mean, what do you attribute to that?
I think the innovation of Pinnacle has always been, it started with the innovation, and then, you know, the integrity and the brand that has really driven the whole model. One thing, I was a competitor of Pinnacle, and at one point, I think the largest number of payouts that we were giving to clients were going to Pinnacle. And it was so frustrating. I would say, anybody who wants a withdrawal, send them to me. I want to ask them. I'm like, where are you sending? You know, to Pinnacle. And then I would say, why are you sending your money to Pinnacle? Everybody bets there. All my friends bet there. And I'm like, why? Well, they have low juice. I'm like, well, I don't know if that's sustainable. Well, fortunately, it is sustainable. But it is, you know, it was a big risk that Pinnacle took. It was a big investment. And they... thus far, it hasn't really been repeatable as yet.
Now, you mentioned that juice, this reduced margin pricing model.
Yeah.
So to attract customers, rather than offer bonuses and freebies, you put up just a very tight margin and offer them good value. Now, did the customer base have to be a certain size before that was feasible, or did you just take a punt and think, well, we'll do that and see if we can get the customers?
Yeah. I think in the very early days before I joined, part of the way to offset that was to bet out as well. So they were able to get that player base and sustain the business. And it didn't take very long. It was, you know, a couple of years, but it was a very deep investment and a risk. But that's, you know, the type of people that they were.
Now, you, if my research is correct, you take bets in over 100 countries and in 19 languages. Now, how much of a logistical nightmare is that, or is it not?
It is payments, languages, localization, you know, all of those things. We're almost like a 20-year startup because we've just celebrated 20 years last year. And, you know, to go into a market with this amazing model that has just worked, it took us a while to understand you can't just go. You have to go in, understand the market, understand the players, the language. Of course, the payment options is the number one, but it's the different marketing avenues that you can do, making sure that they have the specific product, all of those things. It's not a logistical nightmare, but we have been focusing on country manager approach.
Okay, and another thing that I read that Pinnacle has often been seen as quite sort of secretive. You didn't want to tell people how many people you employ, that sort of thing. Was there a practical reason for that, or was it just to keep some mystique about the firm?
It was just the personality of the organization. Very humble people. So, you know, we were just doing our thing. We didn't really feel like it was important to share that information. Now, with the new ownership, we have a different approach. And we're very proud of what has been created, and we're happy to share the story.
Okay, now you've operated casino betting since 2004. So it's a few years after after you sort of started up. Was that because the public confidence in internet betting was still a little low until that point, or for any other reason?
The casino has never been our strong point. We're now just focusing on that. But, you know, just the internet overall, you know, back in the days of phone betting, we used to actually transfer the players, and the owners would literally speak to the clients, explain to them how to get the internet, offer to send them a computer set up, ready to go. Because what we did to transition people from and give them that confidence from the phone to the internet was, if you bet on the phone, you bet you got 110 to win 100. So it was a higher VIG. And then, of course, you know, if you're a larger bettor, you know the value, and you're happy to go online. And that's how we transitioned everybody over. And after I started in 2006, I think it was like 2008, we completely turned off all the phone betting.
Okay, now fast forwarding to 2010, esports. Now, we've been hearing a lot about esports in some of my interviews recently. In 2010, esports was your seventh largest market, once again, if my research is correct. Mm-hmm. And in 2018, they were your fourth. How long before they become the top? And are they sort of bigger in certain areas?
It is very global. It's 24/7, 365. Esports is so unique. The player base is also very unique. When we started, our training director is a esports, almost a legend in his own way, through Magic the Gathering. And he, you know, we were talking about that innovation with a Pinnacle, and we hadn't really done anything new. And he thought, I'm gonna put up some esports, $25 max bets, just playing around with it. And he, you know, he has a deep passion for it, and along with a number of our traders. So, you know, it's a sports book that has like a heartbeat of esports. So they started it, and it took off, and it kept rolling and moving, and it was pretty brilliant the way they positioned it.
And I hear the bets have gone up a lot since then.
Oh yes, yes. The limits are much, much higher, and the amount of product that we offer is really extensive. So right now we're focusing on the data, and you know, and just providing the best product to the player. We're looking to have an esports specific website. We have right now esports is a focus, and we have a lot of investment going into esports. That's the largest base of people that we have in our organization is esports team.
And is it going to be your number one market at some point, do you predict?
It has the potential. It's absolutely massive, the opportunities within the market. And like I said, because it's global, there's countries that we don't take bets from, the UK and Germany, and those are massive markets for esports, but we still happen to, you know, do quite nicely without those key markets. US, we don't take any bets. So esports is huge in the US. So it's going to be interesting. We're looking at ways if we can find an opportunity to gain that market share.
And are there any punters that are a bit sharp and they sort of beat you on it?
There are some very, very talented esports bettors. The top ones would obviously bet with us because of the limits. Just as in all the other sports, we utilize the information to make our numbers stronger.
And I did read that you sponsored drone racing in Hawaii. Is that the next big thing, or is it a novelty?
I never say never. Everybody thought esports was, you know, kind of laughable. That's an interesting one, and drones are just getting more and more popular, so we'll have to wait and see.
Now, Pinnacle exited the US market voluntarily in 2007, and the environment has changed again now. Are you looking to dive back into that, to tap that market?
We are not looking to dive back in. What we're trying to do is figure out from a holistic view what opportunities, you know, with the organization that we could seek out. And, you know, it's been an ongoing process. And we're really monitoring the market to see where it's moving. You know, there's some interesting tax regimes that make it a bit unattractive. Just keeping our finger on the pulse of what's happening and just seeing if there's a strategic play for that.
Okay, now personally, I mean, what attributes do you think you need to have to be a big bookmaker, to be a good bookmaker, mm-hmm. and what the best bookmakers, most successful actually have got? What would you say is your strength?
Yeah, I think the strength that we have is we are a bookmaker. There's some brilliant companies that have amazing annual reports. You know, I just salivate looking at them, but they're marketing companies. And the beautiful thing about Pinnacle is we are a true bookmaker. We have a B2B that we're playing around with right now. The difference is we always have skin in the game. You know, these other people that are providing data, they've got these, you know, beautiful APIs, really well done, nice business models, but they don't, you know, there's always going to be something missing within their model, and that's having some skin in the game.
So when you say you're bookmakers, I mean, you bet purely to figures, is that how it works, or do you take a chance?
Oh, we definitely take positions. We don't lay anything off. We have a very, very large number of companies that lay off their bets into us, but we never lay off a bet. We've never laid off.
Okay, now we've talked about the serious stuff. Now, you've got a long career in bookmaking. Have you got any anecdotes, things that have happened you can share with us so we can lighten the
I think you might have to wait for the movie, but you know, I've had a very phenomenal life, and I've been exposed to some absolutely brilliant people. You know, at one point, Frank Rosenthal from the movie Casino, he was an advisor to a company I was working with. And, you know, just to sit and talk to him every day. You know, some of the stories that were on the movie Casino, they don't even show how amazing that time in Las Vegas was based on his stories. It didn't make the cut. But, you know, and it's, there's just literally so many, you know. My first day walking into the job, you know, I'm out running, and I thought, let me see where I'm supposed to go for this interview tomorrow. And as I walk into this building, and this guy is sitting there, and it's like in these lawn chair type things that you'd have at a lake cabin. And, you know, there's TVs and cigarettes and beer bottles and recorders and phones. And he's like, what do you want? I'm like, excuse me? I said, I'm here to see Bill Scott. And he goes, come on in, I'm Billy. And he hired me. So, you know, it when you start like that, it's every day is pretty amazing.
No, to talk about every day being amazing, we're in London now. Tonight you'll be somewhere else. I mean, is the transient lifestyle something you enjoy?
I'm not a big enjoyer of traveling. Usually it's work. So I travel, go to the hotel, go to meetings, go to the offices, whatever it might be. But I love my job so much. And, you know, if I go somewhere and it's not productive, then, you know, I wouldn't go. So every time I go, we make some progress for the organization, and that's my key.
Okay, now Pinnacle Bet all over the world, as we've already discussed, and you're in charge. What areas and projects will you next be investing in?
You know, like I said, we're looking at a strategic play for the overall organization, you know, just for a sustainability perspective. And esports is really, really a major focus for us. But also, you know, we've always been better at bookmaking than marketing. And, you know, we're getting our next generation Pinnacle. That's our major focus. We're launching what we're calling Future View. And that's where players are going to get a proper experience, proper, you know, the same website, mobile, you know, much more robust, much more in line with current competitors, much better user experience, and more product offering. And that's what we're focusing on, making our B2B stronger, our B2C stronger.
Okay, now when I was doing my research, I was looking at your website, and I was absolutely astounded to see the amount of information and knowledge that's on there to help punters to become better punters.
Yeah.
Why would you educate people in ways to beat you?
Well, the nice thing is the information's out there on the website, or on the web. And, you know, we've always believed that, you know, knowledge is power. And we've never, you know, like obviously most of the other sports books, as soon as you win, they kick you out. You know, some of our traders, we kind of test them after they've been trained, and, you know, if they can make more than three bets, they have to go back to training, basically. And never are they able to make more than three bets without getting kicked out, so that's the good news. Compliments to the trainers. But, you know, so that's the way they operate. I think that's where we differentiate in the market. And Betting Solutions is really, you know, we have our traders, we have as much information. You know, people bet with their heart. You know, that's 90% of people, they're passionate about betting. And that's okay, but we just want to make sure that they feel like they have an edge and they have that information available to them to make the most intelligent bets that they can. We've also been known to cater to the sharp market. You know, I think sharp is relative. A lot of people think that they're sharp, and we just want to give them the tools in their arsenal to be as confident about their bet as possible.
Do you think that the knee-jerk reaction of some bookmakers is too quick, and that if you give some people are only sharp for a certain amount of time. If you give them enough time, they'll stop being sharp. Is that the strategy to keep taking bets on these people?
It's based on a few different things. Sometimes it's, you know, now is a very different time. Before, when somebody was sharp, it was usually in one sport because they did a lot of research. They had certain information, whether it be because they lived in the town of the university or the city of the football club. But now I think it's really different because people are using models. And that's what's going to be interesting. Like, we take arbitrage betting. We accept it. We love it. We love volume. We use the information from the larger bettors. We use it to our advantage, of course. We try to use it to our advantage. They're not, it's very difficult for somebody to be a winning bettor in every single sport. But if you're a bettor, you would typically bet more than one sport. So, you know, it's ups and downs. You know, it's gambling. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Okay, now you get English bookmakers that will stream arbitrage and use that as an excuse for closing punters down. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming from what you say that you trust your odds, and if they want to, you know, whoever's betting them for whatever reason, you put them out there. The way you look at it?
Yep. It's, taking the volume. We manage the volume. You know, it's not a free-for-all, obviously. So we have our limits, we move the numbers. But we have a lot of confidence in our models and in our people.
Okay, Parash, you mentioned a few times about the new ownership of Pinnacle. Would you like to elaborate for people that don't know who the new owners are, what the background is?
We were extremely lucky. As a CEO, it's a bit nerve-wracking when you know somebody new is coming in. I was able to be at the forefront of looking for the right owner. And for me, the dream was somebody who had a financial trading background for high frequency trading, somebody who had a B2B background, somebody who had a very nice appetite for risk, and also who understood the global market, along with the passion for that automation and modeling and, you know, things like that that are at the heart of Pinnacle. And when we went through this transition, the R&D and modeling team that had really taken off, and we'd really invested and found amazing people that we were very, very happy with. So when I reached out to my friends and tried to find, you know, does anybody know if this person exists? One of our partners was like, I know the perfect person, Magnus Hedman. And he came in. He understood the company from the very beginning. We've both been on the same page. Working for great people is, it's not work anymore. And, you know, my drive to succeed, not just for him, but for the shareholders and for the Pinnacle team, that's a major motivation for me. So he had a B2B background with a company called TouchBet. And very successful company for live soccer. And he was able to take, you know, those concepts that he had and allow us and encourage and push and invest in the Pinnacle team to, you know, push a B2B product and kind of get outside of our normal comfort zone. It's been hugely successful. The changes that we've made, that's where you've seen, you know, Pinnacle coming out a little bit more. And just being a bit more transparent for everybody, that's his vision.
Okay, now you mentioned algorithms. You mentioned modeling. Now, is that algorithms you use to price your markets?
Yes.
So you do that as opposed to what a lot of bookmakers appear to do, is just follow the betting exchanges.
Right. And we also, a lot of bookmakers, they have traders. So in Asia, you know, a typical bookmaker might have 700 traders to trade live soccer. We've got 15, and I might be exaggerating. So, you know, that's been, you know, it's very labor intensive if you do it with individuals, but I think you get a lot more consistency and accuracy with the modeling for those types of bets. And everything moves so fast. You know, you can't have a trader sitting there when some guy's coming at you with a robot. you know, so you have to react to it. And I think my team's done a great job of reacting to the market.
Okay, thanks. How do you, as a person at the top of a big organization, how do you mentally cope if the business is going badly and you're having a bad run, especially against some of the big punters?
I think because I'm not a better, I'm a little less emotional about it. And, you know, there's ups and downs. And, you know, if the downs start going too long, we start looking at our own models, of course we get nervous, but, you know, we never push a panic button. Pinnacle in itself, the previous ownership as well as the new ownership, they're risk takers. And if they weren't, they couldn't be owning Pinnacle. Otherwise, they would change the entire philosophy of the organization.
Okay, and finally, would you want your daughter, Silka, to follow in your footsteps, or would you rather she didn't put herself into this life?
I just want her to be happy. And she's been on this journey with me more than anybody. She's seen it all. And, you know, she's much smarter than I could ever be. A much better version of me, which is nice. It's kind of the goal. But she's more for doing business for good. It's a different generation. You know, if she were ever to get enticed by it, you know, absolutely, I would support her through it. But she's, whatever she chooses to do, I'm going to be right there to support her.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Harris Smith.
Thank you.